Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between D.C. and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
Do you guys have Matthew chapter 25, verse 14? Here we go. It says this, and you can read it with me. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. How many people know that's a lot of trust?
Yeah.
You give somebody your debit card. While, let's tell you, I'm going to Israel. That ain't happening. I'll watch it from over there. We'll be okay. Verse 15. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Then he left on his trip. Verse 16. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5. Must have been a really good economy, man. Doubled his money. I need to talk to that guy. 17 says, the servant with the 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's. I think that would be equivalent to like sticking it in your mattress or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, let's just not lose this. Verse 19, after a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. Father God, we're grateful that we can come under the name of Jesus, knowing that you have a name that is above anything that we can face in this world. God, we pray that you would open our eyes, open our hearts, God, to receive from you like never before. God, we bless you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Before you sit down, high five 2 people. Tell somebody he is Jesus. Come on. Tell somebody. Well, we are concluding a series today called If I Had $1 million. This is your first time here at Destiny Harvest. We're just honored. We're excited that you're here. One of the things that we do is we preach in something that we call series. It's kind of like movies. It's part 1, part 2, part 3, the whole trilogy. Well, I don't, oh man, I put myself on the spot. What's after trilogy? What's 4? Just 4? Okay, 4. That's what we're going to go with. But what I discovered at Destiny Harvest, while this is a church of people who love Jesus, this is not a church of people who love 3.5-hour messages. So I take one message that's normally about 3.5 hours, and we break it up into 4 different sections to make it just a little bit more digestible. So we've been talking about finances, more importantly, God's opinion or God's view on the area of finances in our lives. It breaks my heart as a pastor to encounter so many people that whether you have enough or maybe you don't quite have enough, but for some reason finances tend to be an area of stress, of anxiety, of worry, of even if I have enough, I'm not quite sure if I'm doing the right things with it, if I'm preparing myself for success. You ever been in a season of life where you were just paranoid? Where things were going well, almost too well, and you were just like, I know this feeling, something's coming, something's happening, there's about to be a tire that's blown, an engine that goes out, it just can't be this good. There's so much anxiety and stress, and the Bible says that we serve a God that is the Prince of Peace. He's the controller of peace. And he says, whatever makes you anxious, whatever makes you stressed out, whatever makes you worried, literally throw it on him. It says, cast all your cares upon God, for he cares for you. And his response in us giving him our worries and stress is that he said he'll give us a peace that surpasses all understanding, that literally guards our heart and guards our mind. God's plan for you, beyond anything monetarily, God's plan is that there is no area in your life that keeps you up at night, that causes you stress and worry and anxiety. And it begins with applying his principles, applying his ways, applying his standards to our lives. We started off in the first part of the series asking just three different questions. The first question we asked is, if I had $1 million, would it change me? Now, you may already have $1 million and that may not move you, so just add another zero and make it 10 million or whatever your number is. But when you got to the place financially where you had far more than you could ever use or ever imagine, would it change who you are? I find so often people think, when I get to this financial place, then I will be fill in the blank. Happy, generous, not so stingy, whatever it may be. On the other spectrum, a lot of times people are fearful of having more than enough because they say, man, it might make me haughty or prideful or stuck up or whatever term you want to use. Here's what we need to understand. Money does not change you. No, it does, because when I don't have it, I'm pretty ticked off. No. Money does not change you. Money simply magnifies who you already are. The only thing that money does is it gives other people a greater glimpse of what your heart looks like. So if you have a generous heart, if you have a peaceful heart, if you have a God-centered heart, when you have money, it'll just be enlarged for others to see. If you have a stingy, bitter, unforgiving heart, there's nothing worse than a stingy, bitter, unforgiving, wealthy person. Because then you have the means to be a whole lot more bitter than you were when you were broke. The second question we asked is, would I waste it? If somebody were to write you a check today for more money than you could imagine, what would you do with it? Would you go on a shopping spree? Would you buy mama that house and pay off that student loan and get that car and do this? And next thing you know, you look up and not only do you have nothing left, but all you have is a bunch of stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with stuff. I like stuff. I like shiny stuff. I like fast stuff. I like stuff that go high up in the air and takes me to faraway places. But if all that we think about is stuff, we're going to look up and not really have anything to show for our hard work and literally what God has entrusted us with. Last week, we asked the question, would it make a lasting impact? If I had more than enough, would anybody other than me have benefited from it? Would anybody other than me be blessed by it? The Bible says this. It says, you have not because you ask out of selfish desires. You ask to covet unto yourself. We were talking about how God blesses us to be a blessing to other people. God gives you more than enough, not just so that you can sleep well at night, even though that's part of it, but he gives you more than enough so that you can be a blessing on every single occasion. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. Yes, God will give you what? How much is much? More than I have right now. God will give you much. So, there's certain addendums in the Bible that if you miss those key words, it changes the entire concept. If I were to say, God's plan for your life is that you would be rich, you might shout amen. Or you might say, I don't know about that. But the honest truth is that's just not true. The truth is God desires that you would be rich, have more than enough, whatever term you want to live. So, there's a purpose in it. So that you can give away much. And when you take your gifts to those who need them, it will break out into thanksgiving and praise to God for your help. God actually wants us to be a people that point others to his goodness through our generosity. He wants us to have an impact that's bigger than just the four walls of our homes. Today, I want to ask a little bit of a different question, and I'm going to be honest with you. It's a little bit of a meddling question. It's a little bit of a pastor, it's none of your business. And I know, so I'll just put it out there. But here's my goal. My goal is honestly to agitate you a little bit. To just make you squirm just a little bit for the purpose of so. I'm just like, God. So that you can start being intentional about this area of your life. I find for so many of us, when it comes to finances, whether we're doing well or not, a lot of us are just not intentional. We don't really have a specific plan of where we're going. And I'm telling you, wherever you are, God has so much more in store for you. So the question for today is this. If I had a million, wait, why don't I? Oh, you're going to go there? Yeah, it's the end of the series. And I'm gone for 6 weeks after this. So send all your emails to Pastor Damon. He would love to respond to any concerns. Pastor, are you saying that it's God's will that every single person be a millionaire? No, that's outrageous. The reason why I use the word a million is just to get your attention. You can put any number in there that gets your attention. But whatever that number is, let me just ask it this way. Why don't I have more than enough? I find that there's three main reasons why we don't have more than enough. If you could pull out your sermon notes and follow along with me. The first one is this. Because it feels impossible. So many people, when they look at their finances and where they are and where they would like to be, it feels like an impossibility. My wife a few years ago went on an anniversary trip. We went to Puerto Rico. Did I say that right? I tried to say if you. This is all the way funny. So I took Spanish in college, and I could not roll my tongue to say anything to save my life. And then I got filled with the Holy Ghost and started speaking in tongues, and now I can roll. I'm joking, kind of. But anyway, so we went to Puerto Rico, and I'm the type of guy that I like to go shopping. I like to lay on the beach or whatever. My wife's like, let's go see stuff. Let's go see museums and all this other kind of stuff. And she wanted to go. It was a two-hour drive to this rainforest called El Yonque or Yejonque or whatever it may be. I'm working up here. So we get to this, and it's this huge mountain with a rainforest on the side, but thank goodness there's a road that you can drive up the mountain. So we drive up the mountain literally about 3 miles up, and there's a little parking area, and we park our cars, and we see all these people, like, marching off into the woods. Now, I don't travel much, but I watch a lot of TV. And every time on TV when people travel and go marching off into the woods, it doesn't end well. So my wife's like, let's go, let's go, let's go. And I'm just like, no, that's not smart. So we went hiking into the woods. And it was, don't get me wrong, it was a beautiful hike. It was downhill, and every about 200 to 300 yards, there was a different waterfall, just water cascading, and there were pictures, and there were beautiful animals that didn't have sharp teeth, so I was okay. And I mean, it was just amazing. There was foliage, it wasn't too hot, and they actually had these stone steps, and we're hiking down. And the whole point of the hike was at the bottom of the hike, there was this ginormous waterfall with a natural, like, pond or lake that you could actually swim in that was shallow and there was fish, and it was amazing. So we're hiking, and every about 300 yards, we see this sign that says, waterfall this way. So I get excited, and we keep on hiking, and we go another 300 yards, and it says, waterfall this way. About an hour and a half later, passing the 12th sign, it says waterfall this way. I'm like, I quit. I don't care about this stupid waterfall. I can look at it on Google. Like, what? She's like, no, let's go, let's go, let's go. So we finally get to the waterfall, and this bathtub with like 60 people in it. I don't care how fresh water it is, it ain't fresh anymore. I'm sitting here like, are you kidding me? We hiked a mile and a half downhill. You're with me already, right? We parked our car a mile and a half up the mountain, El Junque. When I tell you I looked up that hill at what we had to climb and the spirit of oppression, depression, discouragement came upon my soul. I wanted to sit down and cry. If you ask my wife, she'll probably tell you I did at some point. She would have had fun taking Zoe. I was much worse of a. We hiked for 3 hours straight just to get back up to the top. I find sometimes when it comes to finances, it can feel like you're hiking down a mountain to a beautiful end. Every turn, there's another student loan that allows you to go to a college you never thought you'd get to go to. There's another car payment that'll allow you to drive something you never thought you'd be able to drive. And it's so much fun because it's like there's these signs the entire way down. Every 3 or 4 months, oh my goodness, there's something great on the other end. Y'all ain't liking me right now because you see where I'm going. Oh my goodness, when we get to the bottom, it's going to be amazing. And then you look up one day at this dirty bathtub in this house that you thought was going to be your dream house. But it's not that beautiful when you have all these other pressures and anxieties and you're like, how in the world did we get here? And then you look up at the climb back to progress and it just seems impossible. You start looking around at banana leaves and say, I think I could live here. It worked on Castaway. I watched a movie. I'm sure we could figure this out. I could send a helicopter one day. I have my kids here. It just feels like it's impossible. So you decide just to settle at the bottom of the hill. I feel like this is what happened to that one talent servant. He looked at what he had in his hand compared to the other servants. You see, that master, he gave that one servant 5 bags of silver. Now, if I had 5 bags of silver, I could work that. I could do something with that. Even if it was 2 bags of silver, I could do something with that. But what am I supposed to do with this measly bag? And he looked at what was in his hand compared to what was in other people's hands, and it paralyzed him. I've discovered that if I compare my financial state to anyone else, it's going to paralyze me. It's either going to make me feel like I'm okay because I'm better than the Joneses, or it's going to make me feel horrible because the Joneses are far up the mountain. One of the funniest things is when we were hiking down this mountain, there were people that were hiking back up, and they didn't say anything to us. They just laughed. And I said, did you see the waterfall? Uh-huh. How was it? You'll see. We can compare ourselves to other people who are in different areas of their journey and feel like it's impossible for us ever to get from where we are, and we end up being paralyzed. Now this is a series on finances, but this could be any area of your life. It could be getting control of your finances. It could be getting control of your health. It could be rebuilding your marriage. It could be building a relationship with a child or whatever it may be. You can look at how far you have to go and just feel like it's impossible and say, there's no way. I might as well not try. Here's what we need to understand. God is not expecting you to make $1 million, period. Don't allow the pressure of the pastor to put that on you. God is expecting you to make the most of what he's entrusted you with. Don't even so much think about the finish line, and point two is going to be think about the finish line, but for this point, don't so much think about the finish line. Just think about maximizing today, where I am, what I'm focused on, because here's what happens. When you think something's impossible, it does one of two things for you. You either get paralyzed and do nothing, or you start doing stupid stuff. You start saying, hey, I've seen this on TV. I'm going to flip houses. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with flipping houses. I love real estate, and my hope is to be able to invest in real estate down the future. But if you have a hole in your own roof, how are you going to flip somebody else's? Oh, man, I'm going to start a business. Have you ever seen one before? Have you ever worked in one before? This is what the Bible says in Proverbs 13:11. Riches gotten quickly will dwindle, but those who acquire them gradually will become wealthy. The New Living Translation says this, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappear. Wealth from hard work grows over time. Man, if I could just win the lottery. The majority of lottery winners are bankrupt within 5 years of winning the lottery. The Bible says don't worry about quick fixes. Gradually, the tortoise, slow and steady, wins the race. You don't need a scheme. You need a plan. I don't need to change the world today. I just need to know what's the next step. We talk often. By the way, Connect groups are launching next week. Come on out. I encourage you, jump in a Connect group, especially the summer's the best time to check them out because they're only 6 weeks for most of them, so you can jump in, and if there's weird people in there, it's only 6 weeks, you're good, and then you can go on about your business. But one of my favorite Connect groups is the Financial Peace Connect group. It literally walks you through from wherever I am, where do I go from here? Go to that Connect group. But if you don't, I'm going to walk you through right now. Is that okay? We'll do this quickly. Write this down on the back of your paper. The first thing is this. I need a budget. I need a budget. The Bible says don't try to build something without planning first. You need to know where every single penny that comes in is going to go before you spend it. This is what a budget is not. A budget is not what happened. That is not a budget. That is regret. A budget is even before direct deposit hits your account. This is what this month is going to look like. Me and my wife used to get together once a month and plan out the budget for the next month, and we found ourselves 2 weeks into the month saying, what happened? So now we do it once a month, but once a week we're like, okay, where are we? We're right, we're good, what's the plan? Second thing is this, and I'm stealing this from Dave Ramsey, is save $1,000. What's that for? That's for an emergency fund. What happens when you don't have anything is every emergency is life-changing. A tire goes out and you're borrowing money from grandma, and now you're in debt to grandma. Do you know grandma's turkey just doesn't taste the same when you owe grandma money? Because grandma's looking at you like, oh, you could afford some new shoes, but you can't pay me back my $300? Is that what's going on? There's a lot of guilt that's seasoned on that turkey. So the first thought is, I'm going to have something small. It's not a full emergency fund, but just for emergencies when they come up, so emergencies are not that big of a deal anymore. Step two, pay off debt. The Bible says this, the borrower is slave to the lender. Can I explain to you what slavery looks like when it comes to debt? If you have whatever it may be, a student loan payment, a car payment, or even a mortgage or whatever, and you get $1,000 and you say to yourself, I want to use this $1,000 for whatever. Visa says, no, you don't. What you're actually going to do with that money is send it to your master. Just told you what to do. Huh? I told you this is meddling. It's no fun, right? But I'm telling you, when we apply God's principles to our lives, it brings peace. Pastor, I have 7 debts. How do I get out of debt? Well, here's what Dave Ramsey teaches. List your debt from largest to smallest. First, get current on everything if you're not.
then put all your extra money to the smallest debt. So let's give you an example. You may have a credit card from Sears. Is Sears even still open? No offense if you work there. I just haven't been there in a long time. You got Sears, you have Nordstrom, you have Target, you have JCPenney's, do they still open or whatever it may be? And it may be a $300, $1,000, $1,500, $2,000, then you have $12,000 in a student loan and $17,000 on the car. Pay the minimum payment on everything and just hammer on the $300. And when you knock that out, which should be a really, really quick one, then take what you were putting on the $300 and put extra on the next one, and extra on the next one, and extra on the next one. It's called a debt snowball. And what happens is, well, the interest rate on this one is higher, so don't worry about the interest rate. It didn't bother you when you took out the loan, so don't, I'm sorry, forgive me, I'm sorry. Okay, let's focus me. Here's what happens, and I'm not getting on you, I'm in the same boat. We end up being mathematicians, but if we were so good at math, we wouldn't have taken out that debt in the first place. The issue's not math, the issue is self. Control. Are you tracking with me? Knock the first one out, then this, and this is what happens. Momentum starts building. And I'm telling you, you get excited, you begin to see progress, and then you start doing some crazy things to knock it out. You start having yard sales and picking up extra jobs and selling your children and whatever you have to do. Okay, maybe too much, but I'm telling you, there's something. The Bible says that God has given us a spirit, and part of the Holy Spirit is of self-control. There's something gratifying when you do the smart thing. When you do the disciplined thing, it brings joy into your life. Keep moving. That's step number three. Save a full emergency fund, which is 3 to 6 months. What's that for? That's for if your boss starts tripping. You don't have to feel like I have to put up with this or else I can't eat. You actually have an opportunity, you have a choice to say, hey, I'm going to let you know that in 2 weeks, you're going to notice that I haven't been here for 2 weeks, so consider that my notice. All of a sudden, emergencies aren't emergencies. When you have $5, $10, $15, $20,000 sitting in an account that's not for, there's an emergency, I want to go out to eat. But it's actually an emergency. Step four, save 15% towards retirement. I'll give you some really kind of crazy numbers in a second on that one. Step five, pay off those student loans, not pay off the student loans, get ready for your children's college. Just give you a really fun number here. Zoe is now 10 months as of yesterday. We made it. She's still alive. I don't know about us, but we're going to be okay. If I put $167 in an account every single month from Zoe's birth to high school graduation, that will turn into about $90,000 to $125,000. And I've only put in $36,000 of that. The rest is interest from investing in a mutual fund between 9 to 12% return, which is normal for our stock market today. Which means 18 years from now, if I start thinking about it today, Zoe can go to college without a student loan. And I don't have to say, well, what happened was I drove your college. But boy, we had fun. Keep moving, keep moving. Step number six, pay off your home. I don't have time. No, I don't want to pay off the home because I'm getting tax deductions. For my interest payments, I can't pay off the home. But you're paying $10,000 of interest a year for $2,500 of tax deduction. So you're paying $7,500 just to save $2,500. I'm not a smart guy, but it's not good math. And then the last step is this. Build wealth and give generously. Just think about this. Imagine if your paycheck came in and you didn't owe a soul anything. Imagine what type of investments and risk you can take. without fear of ruining your entire family. Imagine what type of blessing you can be to more people than just in your home if you were able to be in a position where I don't have anyone that I need to pay. Now, I may say, Pastor, that just sounds impossible from where I am. Yeah, but if you just take the next step and the next step and the next step, millions of people have done this and they're fine on average. It takes about 2.5 years to pay off all your debt. And from 2.5 years of paying off debt, from that day forward, if you put $500 a month towards retirement, after 30 years, you are going to be worth $185,660. Is your net worth. Now, can I write you a check for $1 million today? No. Catch me in 30 years, though. I ain't going to write it to you. But here's God's plan for our life. Not quick. Not yesterday, but slow and steady. Over time, discipline brings increase. All right, write this down. We're out of time. Second reason why I don't have $1 million is because I don't like pain. I don't like pain. Did you know that change is painful? It's painful to be on the Pennsylvania Turnpike and miss your exit and drive another 25 miles to the next one before you can turn around. It's painful to say, that was stupid. I shouldn't have done that. It's painful to say, I've committed all of my time and energy into something that's not bringing any type of return. It's painful to tell your family, your friends, yourself, no, I can't go on that trip with you to New Orleans to that jazz concert. I can't afford it. I'm getting out of debt. No, I can't do Secret Santa this month or this year with my 97 cousins. I'm getting out of debt. I can't afford it. No, I can't be in your wedding. By the way, how does this work? You ask me to be in your wedding, but I pay for everything? I'm confused. I I can't. No, I can't live there. No, I can't drive this. No, I can't eat that today. Tomorrow I'll live like a king. But today I can't. It's painful to change. But I've discovered there's something that's more painful than changing today. And that's waiting for tomorrow. Because pain does not dissipate. It only grows. So either rip the Band-Aid off today or have surgery 10 years down the road. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 12. The prudent see danger and take refuge. But the simple. Look at somebody next to you and ask them, are you simple? That's a biblical insult. Oh, you're so simple. He says, but the simple keep going. Ouch, and pay interest. That's insulting. Hebrews chapter 12:11 says this, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but, what's the word? Painful. I was in the gym one time. And it was, and you know what the person I was with said? You're doing great. No, this hurts. He says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. One of the reasons why we're in this position that we're in is because we just don't want to embrace the pain of, ouch, I got to change. Last thing is this, write this down. Because the numbers don't work. Pastor, I don't know what your goal of this whole series was. If it was to make me depressed and discouraged, you have succeeded. I love your whole analogy, $500 a month for 30 years makes me a millionaire. Only problem is I'm 65. So 30 years from now, I'll be here, but I won't be able to enjoy it. Or yeah, that sounds good, but I can't find $500 in my budget or whatever it may be. What do I do when it doesn't sound impossible. It literally is. The numbers just don't work. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1. My son, if you guarantee a loan, what does that mean? Sign on the dotted line without reading. For your neighbor or shake hands in agreement with a bank, you will be trapped by your words. You will be caught by your words. But here's what the Bible says to do. Verse 4. Don't give sleep to your eyes or slumber to your eyelids. Get yourself free like a gazelle from a hunter, like a bird from the hand. I was having a Friday. Friday's my day off, and usually on Friday I'm just like exhausted, tired, don't really want to do much, but take a bowl of oatmeal and put it in my mouth and just sit there. So usually on Friday when I'm drained, I like to find someone who's worse than me to make me feel better. It's my source of joy. So I turn on National Geographic and I watch the lion hunt. And I was watching it this Friday, and there was this water buffalo, and he was surrounded by about 25 lions. He had all types of little holes in his behind. He was dripping. And they were kind of eyeing their next meal. And the reporter, he's like, oh, Crocky me, he's done. You see, they have him surrounded, and they've made sure that he has no escape. And they're just going to wait him out. And Roger, the water buffalo, he just decided, I'm not going out like this. Next thing you know, he rises up and starts pitching lions left and right. He's storming at them, and they're like, well, this is not what happens. We're the hunted, not we're the hunters, not the hunted. And he just decided in his mind, I'm just not going to be dinner tonight. I've discovered, whether it's finances, whether it's fitness, whether it's your marriage, whether it's a relationship with your kids, whether it's your faith, whatever it is, nothing changes until you make a decision. I'm just not going to be dinner tonight. This is not the end of my story. This is not all she wrote. I don't even know who she is. But this is not all she wrote. And I am going to fight, as the Bible says, the good fight of faith. I'll get a second job. I'll sell the car I love. I'll move to wherever I can afford. I'll do whatever I can. But here's what I've discovered. That when you get in your heart, this is not the end. I'm going to maximize where I am today. God looks and he says, okay. That's somebody that I can trust with more. That's somebody that I can step in and aid what they're doing because I know they're going to maximize whatever opportunities I bring into their life. I don't know what impossibility you are facing today, but this is what I know, that there is a God who has given you what you need for today. Give us this day, our daily bread. Work today and watch him take care of your tomorrow. Let's pray. Father God, we're so grateful. God, you said in your word that you haven't abandoned us. You haven't left us as orphans. But God, you are testing us. God, to see if we'll be faithful with little. God, so that you can trust us with much. God, I pray that you'd give vision to those who don't have. God, that you would give hope to those who are discouraged. And God, that you would give perseverance to maximize every opportunity.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.